Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Webcology here on WMR.fm. It's the 24th of April, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
And it has been a busy, busy week. Before we get into it, before we get into the whole shebang of it, I want to thank our sponsors, Audience Key and Wix Studio. Yeah, they keep us on the air and keep the podcasts flowing. Christine, how are you? How are you this morning?
Oh, it's a bad morning. My cat who wants to kill the other cat all the time. It was a massive epic scene today, which dropped all the stuff off my shelves and wound up them dropping 3 feet as a ball of fighting cat. So it's been a good day.
So the cat who wants to kill the other cat almost succeeded.
Well, the good thing is a cat that wants to kill the other cat is 11 years old or 7 pounds lighter and has no claws. But the dropping him off the 4 foot shelf, 3 foot shelf down to the ground in a ball fight was not good. But everyone's fine. He's in the bathroom now thinking about what he did.
Playing on his cell phone. Okay. Okay, we got to jump right in. We have a busy show and we actually have a hard stop in the studio. So, apparently, your browser's extensions could put millions of Chrome users at risk. I think millions might be a low number here. So, is there a list? There's a number of malicious extensions that become security flaws via your Chrome browser. Is there a list of them somewhere?
Yeah, there's an article here by. Oh, you would ask me. there's an article on MSN from Fox News that lists the actual browser extensions.
It's written by Kurt Knudsen.
Yes.
And he does have a link to his website, cyberguy.com, which shows a group of malicious extensions. And there's a new report of 35 new ones. This may become a moot point in the future, given a story we're going to be reporting on in the future about the DOJ, Google Chrome, and possible new ownerships. But it's currently an issue, so check out Knudsen's article. Make sure you're not exposed.
So the good news is, just real quick, unless you sideloaded these, meaning you went outside the Chrome extension store, you will not have these on your computer. These are ones that were sideloaded from other like websites and things like that. There is one called Incognito Search for Chrome, which I think could possibly affect our industry. However, so you definitely want to look at this list and get rid of them, because these are not simple malformations of the extensions. These are really ones that are trying to surveil what you do online.
Okay. Is this any different from the Incognito Search in Chrome, where Google is actually surveilling what you're doing?
Yeah. Google, we know Google does that. Now, Incognito Search in Google is not the same thing. This is a Chrome extension you've added called Incognito Search.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there are massive glitches happening in Google Analytics real-time reporting. If you're dependent on knowing what's happening exactly right now on your website, how to say this? Chances are it's accurate, but you can't be sure.
Yeah, this is our weekly report now, I think. We're just going to call it Google Bugs.
No. They're still broken. I'm sorry. I was about to say they're reporting a fix, but no, they're not reporting a fix. It's still broken. As of time of the recording.
Exactly. So, which is Thursday, 11, 10 p.m. Pacific time.
Similarly, Google posts are going missing from local search from local panels.
You see it? It's there. It's not. The Schrodinger's cat of Google posts. Yeah, from local panels, they've been missing. There's a lot of complaints that Barry Schwartz from Search Engine Roundtable is reporting on this, and there's a lot of people reporting the issue online. I don't know that he has a Google statement, though. I didn't see one in the article, so they're aware of the issue, but that was it. Standard Google, yeah. If your
If you're
posts are
involved,
missing, sorry, if your posts are missing, they'll come in and out, and eventually it'll be fixed. We just don't know when.
if you're involved in Google paid advertising, Google paid ads, massive changes are coming to the paid ad sector. Go to Search Engine Roundtable, or go over to Search Engine Land and check out their coverage. It is massive, and it's one of those things where we can cover the odd like paid story, but this is something that I'm not really comfortable giving a lot of coverage to, Christine, because this isn't really our alleyway, but it's something we should definitely tell our cousins in paid search about.
Yeah, we do a couple real quick stories today on it, but very short. I counted, I think, six or seven significant stories for people who do paid advertising, and it's too much for us to cover here today because we have other stories that are a bit bigger. So, yeah, go to Barry's, or like Jim said, Search Engine Journal, you
Search
said?
Engine Land. Oh,
Search Engine Land, sorry.
I
Yeah,
said, I'm
either
sorry, I
one.
said journal. I did say journal. I said journal.
Yeah,
Did I say
yeah.
journal?
I think
Either
so.
way, check out journal, check out land, check out Ginny Marvin's work.
Yeah.
But check out the changes that are coming to the Google paid ad universe. It will change the way that you do business.
And truly, there have been so many changes with Google Ads lately. If you are in that industry, that's your primary space, or shouldn't say industry because we're all in the SEM industry, but make sure you're checking it on the daily. Barry's a really good source. He reports all the small to large stories, but there's just so many changes going on with Google Ads right now. You'll want to make sure you keep up to date.
You know how there was like massive change because of AI to the SEO world over the last like 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Well, now that's happening in other parts of the
Yeah.
online digital universe, and it's going to spread very, very rapidly.
Yeah.
Here's the secret. It's adaptable. It's just
Yeah,
hard.
it's just new stuff you have to learn kind of thing. It's not like most of it's not, well, there's some major one major story today, but basically it's just changes to how they're verifying and doing the ads and what they're going to display and all that kind of stuff. So
Okay, so anyway, major changes coming. Speaking of major changes, we now have a section in our story grid that we're titling Stories from the Dystopia. And it's a look at how the new administration and the new tone of authoritarian government in America is changing the tech world, the world that we work in specifically, and also changing the environment that makes the tech world. This show is Webcology, about the ecology of the web, especially as it relates to digital marketing. So we know what's happened with the tech oligarchs. We're seeing the shift in the large tech houses towards the authoritarian regimes and authoritarian ideals. Now we're seeing that regime target academia and target it hard. Last week, the Trump administration took on Harvard, which pretty much meant it was taking on the Ivy League. Because the Ivy League, many of the Ivy League that weren't named Columbia, fell in behind Harvard almost immediately. And this is around DEI policies, diversity,
Equity and
equity and
inclusion, yeah.
inclusion policies. The policies that basically say people are people and have their own points of view that come from wherever it is they grew up. And you know that they're all important points of view. That's the EI in a nutshell. But it doesn't work for the Trump administration. So the Trump administration controls billions of dollars in funding for research projects and education and projects and STEM projects, etc. Basically, training the people who are going to take over the tech world in the future. Thank goodness they won't be my boss because I'm too old. True. Well, this is their training ground, and anyway,
So they're going in and they're using good news, by the way. Musk will no longer be doing Doge in the near future. But they're going using the algorithm and just searching for words that they think are related to DEI. So they've cut all sorts of bizarre things. But in this case, the story today is about cutting STEM research. Like we know they've already cut cancer research and pediatric cancer research and all sorts of things that we should be studying. But they are cutting the wasteful DEI grants. That's a quote. And it's saying like they're getting rid of, I believe it's 380 grants. Projects have been cut, including ones that combat internet censorship in China and Iran, projects consulting with indigenous communities to understand environmental changes in the Alaska's Arctic region. A computer scientist was studying how AI tools could mitigate bias in medical information and also disinformation online. There's a big program to help combat the disinformation issue and from the NSF, National Science Foundation. And they will no longer, quote, support research with the goal of combating misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation that could be used to infringe on the constitutional restricted speech of American citizens across the United States in a manner that advances a preferred narrative about significant matters of public debate. That's their quote. Those are my words.
Yeah, no, an incident just for to make it really clear, what Christine was saying was a quotation.
Yes, not
In the
my words.
future, we're gonna try to not use their own words because they phrase things in a very specific way, in a dangerous way.
Well,
And it were anyway,
it's
all of
important to
it's
know
available for
what they
people to
say they're
read if they need to
cutting.
see it. But these projects are things that are like absolutely essential to, moving science forward. They're unbiased projects. In fact, using an algorithm to cut them is, in and of itself, showing an extraordinary bias. Academia has to be separate from governance and from the funding decisions over top of it. It's absolutely critical, or we have exactly what they say they're scared of, a state-controlled university and education system.
The good news is when Harvard stood up to the administration, 200 other universities have now joined them, some smaller that don't have the resources. They're all pulling together to maintain academic independence and freedom. So,
And power to them.
yeah.
Absolutely power to them.
But people need to know that a lot of these grants have been cut, and the research is no longer, and if it's rectified very soon, then it might preserve the research. But research isn't something you can like usually drop and come back to 6 months later. So the people that had these organizations that are, scientists are saying if it doesn't revert soon, and they say in weeks, then most of these projects will be lost. So, and US
American
is.
citizens should also know that this isn't just doesn't apply to universities in America. The in conjunction with international universities around the world, including some in Toronto, some in London, some in Africa, some in Asia, they all receive U.S. funding for research projects in conjunction with American universities. That funding is now in jeopardy if the American government decides that they don't like France's DEI academic DEI policies. That's chilling. Trying to exert influence over other nations' education systems.
Definitely.
Tax dollars at
Well,
smirk.
yeah. So that's our report from Dystopia today.
Yeah, luckily it's only one story.
Yeah, well, there's lots of stories, but not ones we cover under what we do. So that's the
Indeed,
main story for today.
it's really hard to choose what to do and how to cover these stories and how to look at them and stuff. It's an awful time to be a tech reporter. Honestly, this used to be so easy and fun. We were talking about really cool innovations that were happening and how we learn about information. That's what this show was basically about for like what like 10, maybe 15 years. And then all this happens.
And
Anyway.
now
Well,
we can talk about Google.
we all grow up, don't we? That's what it comes down to. Google. Will Google get broken up? Because we're getting really close to the literally make or break date, right?
Yeah, the trial started today on the remediation, what they're going to do. So.
So the Justice Department wants an outcome that could include forcing Google to divest from Chrome, requiring Google to share data to help new people coming, new entrants in the search field, overcome barriers to entry, syndicating search and advertising data that would allow rivals to use Google's search results to improve their own quality without having to pay Google an arm and a leg for it, etc.
And splitting off Chrome could cause Google a lot of issues outside just users on Chrome because they use that search information that users give them for developing their products. So it's quite a conundrum
Well,
on what
Google,
to do.
my weirdness about all this is how Google is a big machine where that's like, imagine a bunch of cogs that roll across each other and require each other. One part of the machine needs all other parts of the machine to function properly. There was so much data flowing back and forth between Chrome and Google Search, between Chrome and Google Advertising. Between Chrome and Gemini, the AI that is learning everything it can possibly about you as an individual user to anticipate your needs, that's all in jeopardy with this DOJ decision.
Yeah, the problem is like, Google did this to themselves. So yeah, it's hard to really feel like any badness for them. And it's like they've been doing this for years. They've been warned for years. They already started losing lawsuits like 3 or 4 years ago, and they continue, as we have a story coming up, to do the same practices. So unfortunately, it's going to be Google gets what it gets. We'll have to deal with it as an industry because it will make a difference. Right now, the trial has started for that. They also are looking at future potential monopolies in this case. The judge was saying that they can't just look at what they've done in the past, but what they might do in the future. So they're also taking a look at their artificial intelligence projects and to see what kind of dominance Google could create for themselves there. That could really harm Google because the other companies don't have those restrictions, and they may be doing the same things, but they're not in court for antitrust. So we'll see. Google has agreed to pay Samsung monthly to install the Gemini app on there. So they're already expanding their what am I trying to say? Their service, their visibility, like they did with Apple and selling, them paying them to put the browser first. So again, it's the same things they always do.
Claim as much space as you possibly can until you're told you're not allowed to claim the space anymore,
Yeah,
seems to be
true,
the
true.
strategy, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, a judge is probably going to take into account whether you're continuing the bad behavior or not. But bad behavior, I'm saying they're saying bad
But
behavior.
yeah, I mean, but
Yeah.
what's he gonna do? Take away their toys? Like, he's already gonna do that.
Yeah, it just could be worse, though, because judge is not happy with Google. But anyway, so that's what's going on with the trial starts today. This is not the trial to find if they're guilty of antitrust. That's already been found. This is to determine what the remediation will be.
Now, to make things just a little more confusing, this isn't the only antitrust case in play, and there will be other decisions coming, or was it
Yes.
6 to 9 months in the future with other remedies. And then there's another one happening in the EU.
Yes.
So those are
There's
three
two.
different cases
There's two
to
because one's
in
already
the
been
EU.
found, but they didn't determine the remediation yet, I don't believe. And the other one is still in court.
These are both EU cases.
I think it's hard to keep it all track. I told you we need to develop a tracker.
Indeed, because
So,
there's a class action in the UK that we talked about last week. I
one's
know there's at least one EU antitrust, probably two. I mean,
yeah,
why not, right?
and there's a UK one too, though, but I don't remember which one that is. So I'd
And
have
then
to go
there's
look
the
it up.
then there's the other American one that's being heard in the California court
Yes, and
that
none of
will
those. Go ahead.
or
Sorry.
that will have their own implications and remedies as well that aren't necessarily meshed together.
Yeah, the like, and the judges don't have to talk to each other either, right? So it could be like, well, we're gonna get rid of Chrome, and the other's like, we're gonna get rid of your ads, and the other could be like, we're gonna get rid of like, I mean, they can argue in court, of course, that it's too much damage to the company, but it is going to be an interesting year for Google because Google has a lot of remediation coming this year.
But you know how those judges are when they like show up for dinner wearing the same robes and like they're embarrassed, they just don't talk to each other and stuff. Like it's real jealousy amongst judges, I hear.
But you know who would be really happy to help Google?
This is gonna sound crazy, but who?
OpenAI would happily help Google take Chrome off its hands if it's told to divest the browser.
Oh my goodness, lots of people would be happy to help Google that way, I'm
Yes.
sure. But who's going to be allowed to? Because, like you said, the judge is looking at stuff that could happen in the future. So, why not restrict who might purchase this insanely massive crown jewel of tech
Well,
properties?
not only did they say they'd do it, they testified to it in the case that they would be interested in buying the Chrome browser.
Well, I don't know. Elon Musk has come along and said, I'd like to buy the
Yeah.
entire. I mean, like, why not, right? I'd like to buy the
Yeah.
Chrome browser, to be honest. I just don't think I'm currently in the market for a
Maybe
browser.
the SEO industry, we can all chip in like $100 and buy it.
Yeah, I'll set up the
Okay, maybe
GoFundMe.
$10,000 or
I'll set up the
100,000 apiece.
Kickstarter like right now, eh?
Exactly. So anyway, OpenAI, of course, would love to. They did strike, has already struck a deal with Apple to integrate ChatGPT in the iPhone, but they haven't been able to reach agreements with Android or other companies. So this would be a jewel in their crown, but it's like you said, the judge would have to approve it, and there's a chance he would definitely not approve that.
Okay,
So.
so it's not like Google's a monopoly or anything, and
And they don't just. Go ahead.
this isn't evidence in any of the cases currently against them because this just happened. So Google has a contract with Lenovo, which owns the brand Motorola. Remember Motorola's flip phones? They were
Yeah,
so cool. I
yeah.
had a Motorola flip phone, like a Star Trek. They were so
But those
neat.
are cool again, too. Flip phones are cool again with the younger and the older people.
Really? Because they're
Yeah.
so cool. Well, if you have a Motorola smartphone, you're not going to see Perplexity AI on it because Google has a contract with Lenovo, who owns Motorola, and they don't want to see Perplexity on devices that they're somehow involved with. So Google used its muscle and said no.
Wait, Google used its what?
It's muscle.
Monopoly to
No, I didn't say monopoly. I said the other M word, muscles.
I know you said muscles, but I mean it is part of their monopoly power.
But it's exactly what they're talking about.
Exactly. It's exactly what they're in court for and having remediation. It was Chrome over, but that's what I mean. They still continue to do it. It's hard to feel sympathy for them for it.
Well, I was gonna say, for those of us who are sitting here going, "Oh, poor Google, this is just how business is done." Well, yeah, it is how business is done, but that's why there's rules about how business is done.
Right, because to remind people, monopolies are not illegal. It's when you use your monopolistic power to make it advantageous for you, and then you win all the time, so you have 90% of search in the US and across most of the world. So, yeah, but so they did block Perplexity AI. Of course, Perplexity AI is seeking remediation for that themselves, but right now they're not able to be on the Lenovo and. The guys from Perplexity, though, are originally from Google. So I don't know if that plays into it as well. They were Google engineers. So, and again, they will add, Google did testify this week that Motorola will add Perplexity to its phone late this year. So it looks like they may have come to an agreement, but they're not going to be featured. They're not going to be the default.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Now, if Google stopped purchasing default privileges from Lenovo, Do you think Lenovo would come to them and say, oh, or come to the DOJ and say, oh, please, let Google please give us a whole bunch of money, please? I think they would.
Maybe. Just like Apple tried to block the divestiture going on right now because they want Google to pay them the billions of dollars to be on their phones.
All the cool kids are doing
Exactly.
Okay, so this is not from our stories of the dystopia. This is from our stories of the average, everyday real life. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. A group of OpenAI workers are going to both California and Delaware AGs, asking them to block the for-profit conversion of the ChatGPT maker. Their OpenAI is trying to restructure its corporate governance to become a for-profit organization. The OpenAI employees, some of whom are Nobel laureates, law professors, people from civil society organizations, all got in on the on the lobbying effort to the attorney generals, basically saying halt the startup's restructuring for concerns that out of control.
Yeah,
And without
Glenn.
guardrails, this technology could literally kill business and society, or maybe just all of us.
Yeah, because according to Nissan, I don't know if it's Nissan, Sinan, who worked at OpenAI for 2018 to 2020, OpenAI may one day build technology that could get us all killed. So there's no sale price that can control for the loss of control in the group letter. I tend to agree that. Probably having OpenAI be a corporate giant that has to answer to the street might not be the best thing for the world and society. But we'll see, because they did start this as a nonprofit. They weren't supposed to be able to switch it. They did a whole bunch of, sleight of hand to get to where they could try to become a, regular corporation with stocks and all those things. I think the people that started with OpenAI have or at least a ideological, no, ideological, wrong word, wrong word. Have a theory of the case that is not, that is based in facts, but I don't know if it has standing or anything like that. So, but what do you think, Jim? Think they should become a corporate giant or stay their
You know what? I
nonprofit
don't
self?
think it makes a difference if it
You
isn't
don't?
them. Well, no, though. I mean, what OpenAI is the only massive AI game in town. Some of the massive AI games are already run by for-profit companies. OpenAI will just be another car manufacturer who doesn't give a damn about oil and the effects on climate change. That's all. I don't see
Yeah.
any. I don't see why it's different than any other large scale AI project.
Well, because they started under the agreement that they would be a nonprofit.
Okay,
Yeah.
but why would they kill us and not them kill us? You know
Well,
what I mean? Like, why? It's
we do know that Sam Altman has acted recklessly in the past.
well,
That's not news. So.
and Mark Zuckerberg hasn't,
Well,
like,
that's different. Yeah, but.
and Elon Musk. Who has Grok, which is arguably the best educated AI in the world now that it has every American's information. He hasn't acted recklessly. So again, why are we concerned about this one corporation when there are a dozen others doing exactly the same thing,
Well,
at maybe a slightly different scale, but
I don't like the argument. Well, others do it, so it's fine. Like
No, it's not that. No, it's not
you
that
could
others do it.
also
It's that OpenAI isn't the fear here. OpenAI is not the problem. They're just one of many.
right, but if one is controlled, then the others might also receive the same control.
But the other ones are already private corporations.
No, I mean oversight though. Anyway, well, I need to continue going down that road. I
Like,
just thought it
no,
was an
again,
interesting
like,
case.
you know what I would worry about more than OpenAI? I'd worry about technoligarchs. It's not a national thing. It's not a corporate thing. It's a class thing, and it's real. That's what I think we need to worry about. Open just again. I think that's a sideshow. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Okay, this one I'm also gonna have. I think we're also gonna have contrary opinions on. There are deep American fears about Chinese AI DeepSeek. In fact, there's a House probe over U.S. data harvesting by the Chinese AI DeepSeek. I laugh because since 2003, the Patriot Act has hoovered every bit of
Gosh,
information
no.
that's gone
That
through the
doesn't
United
exist
States.
anymore. Doesn't
Sorry?
exist anymore. Doesn't exist anymore.
I
Oh.
anyway, America's security agencies hoover up every bit of information that goes
Yeah.
through the United States. America's AIs trained on French novels and German novels and Chinese novels too. I really, the cat getting mad at other cats for going after mice is what I see.
I do not.
I know.
Yes.
I don't, but then again, we
I
don't
don't think this
share
is a
national
discussion.
security issues.
I don't think this is a discussion about America versus China and who does what. Chinese right now are doing this, and it's being brought up at the House committee, and it can be enacted in a total independently of everything else because those are other issues to address differently. But people that are right now using DeepSeek should know that DeepSeek admitted that it is sending America's personal information to servers in China, where it is going to be accessed by officials connected to the Chinese Communist Party. And China is not our friend. And China has done things like come in and try to attack our national infrastructure, our electric systems, our water systems. They've even gotten into the main systems that run our cybersecurity in the country. So when you
China is a tiny worry compared to Doge at the moment. I don't, honest to
okay,
goodness, like
this is
Musk is
not.
doing this with Grok right now.
Okay, that's a totally different story and not related to what we're talking about. So the company's privacy policy states that it collects data and stores. All our friends who jumped on it and said, well, it's not a big deal, probably believed when they first said that they didn't do this. So they do this. It is in front of the House committee. If you are using DeepSeek, you may not want to use DeepSeek because they are admitting that they're taking your data and giving it to Chinese. And you may think that's not a big deal. But the Chinese use it to identify things like Chinese dissidents. You may not know your friend from China was a dissident, but now they have your contact information and because they're on your phone, and they now can identify that your Chinese friend is a dissident. And they have these weird things in the United States where China puts up little mini, like illegal jails and takes people and puts them there. It's not conspiracy theory. You can Google that. So
Again,
they're
Christine, I'm sorry. I just have a hard time singling out the Chinese state being
I'm
evil for
not
doing
shining out
exactly
the
this,
skin. We're
or
not
DeepSeek.
talking about other things. We're talking about DeepSeek, and
If you
DeepSeek
are
does
worried about
this.
your relationship with the State Department for using DeepSeek, you probably got a legitimate worry.
The Chinese use this to identify information in the United States that is used often against Chinese people here in the United States.
Oh,
So
very
just
probably.
you want to be careful about using DeepSeek since it is sending your data to China.
But again, I think it's at this particular time in history, people need to consider that the AI systems they're using are probably sharing their information wildly with various governing
Very
agencies.
possible, but that's not the story. We're talking about
It's
DeepSeek.
absolutely part of the story. I know this one focuses on DeepSeek, and I'm jumping on the American angle mostly because I'm coming from a country that's very, very, very threatened by America right now. So I'm a little on edge about them pointing fingers at other people.
Isn't pointing fingers, this is what
Well,
they're
it's the
doing.
House is definitely pointing fingers at China for something that America itself does. So
We
that's
don't
all I'm.
have an app in China that's taking information and arresting Americans in China yet. So anyway, let's just move on, please. Meta Oversight Board is worried Meta's new policies will be harming human rights or
Well, what are
say.
they going to do about it?
Well, the
Of
Oversight
course,
Board
Meta's new
doesn't.
policies are going to harm human rights. We know this because Meta's already done this. They've already used these laissez-faire, quote unquote, free speech policies, and they've seen the genocide in Myanmar happen. Direct relation to groups on Facebook.
Oh yeah, we know that Meta has never been a bastion or Facebook of protecting rights on their platform. That's for sure. These, unfortunately, are new changes that make it even worse, however.
I'm very
So,
curious. Their oversight board is worried. Great. That reminds me a lot of some US senators that are, deeply concerned. What are they going to do about it?
I don't know. I don't think the
Okay.
board has much power, but it is important to people now.
So, Elon Musk's Twixter has to pay a streaming company over $105 million for patent infringements involving Vine and Periscope, which Twixter didn't invent. They purchased, did they not?
Yeah, he just took he well, he didn't pur yeah, he purchased, but they also stole. So this has been in court for a long time, I believe.
Like
VidStream create
2013.
yeah, VidStream created a system making it easier to take videos in different formats and transcode them and convert them from one video format to another. And so that VidStream said Twitter was aware of the patents since at least 2013. And then VidStream acquired YouTube. I don't think I remember YouTube. That the CEO might be infringing, informed Twitter's then CEO that Twitter might be infringing on their patents. But that led Twitter to express bigger interest in YouTube's technology in a way they could partner. So YouTube gave Twitter access to a digital sandbox on YouTube's technology app. And during that time, they believe they stole, patented information and to develop their own products. And so apparently they did because they have to pay the company 105 million for the infringement on the patents.
Now, the cool thing is, the jury decided that this would be the 105 million is a royalties payment. So I think of all like the artists who created music and stuff and get paid like pennies for royalties per play. Just how many times video had to get played across the Twixter system for it to be 105 million and change.
Yeah, very true. I had missed the part about it being royalties. You are correct. And so, yeah, how many videos did they play? Because what is streaming on like Spotify? You get like 2 cents for the artist or something.
But again, they've been aware of this infringement since 2013. So,
Yeah,
like, that's a
yeah.
hell of a lot of videos in 11 years. I'm gonna guess a hell of a lot would be the technical number.
Well, they killed Vine and Periscope back a little ways, back in 2017, but still almost 6 years of video. Yeah, it was a lot of video.
Okay. Speaking of killing things, how to say this? This is how the web goes. A lot of people have left some of the other streaming, the other social platforms, Twixter specifically, and Facebook more recently, and they've m trying to find other homes. Blue Sky, Mastodon, and Discord has become a home for a number of people, and a home for large scale organizing. It's an ex it's, Discord's always been sort of the lower one of the lower key social media. Incredibly utilitarian and useful. And its CEO for 10-year-long CEO, its founder, Jason Citron, has stepped down, which is cool. It's time to move on to other things. But what's
Yeah.
really sad is he's being replaced by the guy who totally uber monetized Candy Crush, former CEO of King and Blizzard
Oh, that
Interactive,
king. I
who
saw
Mam
King and
Sacnini.
Yeah,
Yeah, that king.
I was like, well, so people know the title reads former King President. I was like, King President,
Yeah,
what?
Trump's taking
Oh,
this one
King.
too. Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, no, and then I realized I meant King, but I didn't make the connection
And
to
so yeah,
the Candy
this
Crush
is the guy
gaming.
who made Candy Crush what it is today, and he's the one who took over. He's taking over Discord as CEO, and Discord is kind of like a library compared to most other social media.
Yeah, the thing is, every time they don't say why the current one is leaving, so it doesn't sound
It's
like it
10
was
years.
any.
It's been a decade.
Yeah, probably get a good payout to leave, get IPO shares, when they go. But this is just my own little thing, my own little theory of being on this webverse for so long. When you go IPO, they always manage to somehow kill innovation and kill the product because now they're
Oh,
beholden to
yeah.
the street, and then they don't make the decisions based on users. So hopefully Discord will avoid that. But I didn't realize it's the guy who monetized Candy Crush. So
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 it's only gonna last so long, right?
yeah, because I used to love Candy Crush and I just stopped playing it. So it was like when I had a flight, I do Candy Crush and Angry Birds, but yeah, so they're moving on. Well, hopefully it'll be good for Discord. I'm actually in like I think like eight groups right now. On Discord. It's very pretty functional though. It's kind of like a easier form of Slack. A little bit nicer. It doesn't buzz my brain all day
Yeah.
like some of the other things that I use with the notifications drive me crazy.
No,
So
I just got turned on to Discord in the last 6 months, and it is so utilitarian and useful. It's like the Swiss Army knife of social medias.
exactly.
And well, it won't. Well, you know what? Maybe Saknini sees the value in exactly as it is now. But again, this is a guy who is really into in-game purchases. So I see. Personally, I think we're going to see major monetization coming to Discord, and
Oh
I think that's
yeah,
very sad.
it is sad because that'll cause people just to not use it anymore until something, wait for something that like Discord to reemerge.
But now here's the thing, Christine. We can't have beautiful free spaces like Discord and stories like the next one at the same time.
Oh come on, you can look at bad
It's
search
just
once.
no. This is the one about U.S. search ad revenue. No, no,
Oh
no. Look at Badger's
sorry.
way too much fun. We're doing that in a sec. This is search ad revenue, and it's grown 15 point. It's grown 16%,
Dang.
$102.9 billion in 2024.
Well, you know, that at Google might not be wrong. If you confuse people enough, they'll eventually just use the ads to get where you need to go. Remember, more queries is better for Google. More queries doesn't usually indicate a good search experience.
Okay,
So,
but
but.
again, it's people who think like Saknini, who create universes or environments in which create the conditions for us to report U.S. search revenue grew by 16% in 2024. I
It
find that
did.
phenomenal.
It is. It's insane. And it's the only reason probably that Sundar continues on as he does because he's able to create more revenue. I'm just saying they don't necessarily create it in a positive way.
You know, Sundar has been around the corporate world for a long time, and I hope he understands the really important business adage: you cannot lick a badger twice.
I
Because you can, but the badger's not going to like it.
was so happy when I saw this story because we needed something funny.
Okay, so it is true you can't lick a badger. You probably can't even lick a badger once, and if you can, it's probably an ill-advised thing to do because they're gross.
Yeah, then they probably don't appreciate it, and they can be pretty feisty.
So if you go to Google, right, and you ask it the meaning of something, anything you want, like ask it the meaning of why pizza's around, it will confidently come up with an answer, whether it knows the answer, whether an answer exists or not, because it strongly believes, well, that everything that's ever been written must have an answer to how many times you can lick a badger.
Yeah, so apparently this isn't the normal, like, let's put glue on a pizza to keep the cheese on, or drink your own urine to get rid of kidney stones. This
No,
is
because that
where
was
you,
actually advice.
yeah, and it was actually a thing. In this case, Google's AI, Gemini, is making up explanations for non-existent folksy sayings. So one of the things that they tested was never wash a rabbit in cabbage. And AI Overview says the saying never wash a rabbit in cabbage, in quotes, is a humorous way of saying that bathing rabbits is unnecessary and potentially harmful. Rabbits are naturally clean animals and do not require regular bathing, especially as bathing can be stressful for them and strip their fur of natural oils. While a very soiled rabbit might need a bath, it's generally best to avoid it. Remember, the prompt was never wash a rabbit in cabbage. So they made up these phrases and it came back with answers on the origin of these non-existent folksy sayings, like the bicycle eats first expression, or if you don't believe me, if you don't love me at my Victor, you don't deserve me at my Tanger Man. They just made up word this.
No, they did
So,
not. That was actually, that's the
Tanger Man's a
author's
word?
name. That was the author of the article.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I missed that part. So anyways, they don't just hallucinate answers to real things with supposed real things, like drinking your urine could be a thing. Just not what you should do. In this case, the folksy sayings don't actually exist, and they're giving you origin stories with great depth because people will sometimes forget these were trained with humans to sound confident. So it's like the drunk guy in the bar, and you're like, so tell me about washing rabbits and cabbage. It's like, oh my gosh, I can tell you about washing rabbits with cabbage, right?
Wow.
And not that it's ever a thing, but it's still funny. So.
As we all know, hyperactively confident LLM models take lots of ADHD drugs to stay thin. You know what that does to their brains,
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So test it out yourself. Post some funnies. They're pretty good.
Okay. Adobe is going to launch a mobile app to help AI image gener help content creators. I'm sorry, Adobe's launching a
AI.
mobile app to for AI image generation as it and OpenAI like step up their rivalry. So now Adobe is taking on OpenAI, and we know what happens to Adobe products, don't we?
What's that?
Things never, well, how to say it? Sometimes things work out well for Adobe products, and sometimes things don't work out for Adobe products. I'm a massive user and fan of Photoshop, and I remember writing articles about Adobe Flash and getting death threats.
Oh, but Flash, well, I have to say one thing for people who weren't around for the early days of the internet. Flash did make some beautiful websites. I mean, Google could read them and it couldn't crawl them. That's different. They did make some pretty websites out of it. But yeah, Google Flash, I remember trying to use Flash. It was just terrifically awful. So the good thing, though, that Adobe's also doing is with the new products, they just did a new product line. Adobe's new app helps creditors and fight AI fakery. So one of the problems is people, they create AI images and then people don't know they're AI or yeah. And there's one channel on my Facebook. I don't know if you get this one, Jim. It's always videos of something with an animal and how someone rescues them. And you're like, this isn't a thing. This isn't real.
Aww.
Yeah.
And
But you can
the
tell it's
animal only
AI.
has three fingers, and one of the, and the
Yeah.
ring is on the wrong finger. I hate when that happens.
And you have like a guy like walking up to a polar bear, just petting him, just petting
Yes.
the polar bear. So anyway,
Which is actually
so
really amusing when that happens up here. That is one of the funniest things you can possibly imagine. If the guy makes it back to the bar, you're just gonna laugh at him after that, you know?
but yes, definitely. Some of the cool thing though about this tool, and we'll see how it works in the wild once people get their hands on it. But even if somebody takes a screenshot and reposts it, the app has an invisible tamper-resistant metadata embedded into the images and photograph to help identify who owns them. So of course this
Good.
is yeah so. So that, I think it's really awesome. And it's using that new, we talked about it before, that new authenticity standards and guidelines. But they had problems with screenshots. Like, people took screenshots, it didn't transfer. But now apparently it does. So if you are an AI creator who's actually using it for like art, then, and I don't mean someone just writes a prompt, I mean someone who's really doing artistic work with AI, you can be a little more assured that you will have the credit credentials follow you. So
Good.
all your work.
Okay. This is a story that I'm not entirely sure how I feel about. On one side, this is from a e-commerce perspective, and somebody who does a lot of e-com SEO. I love this. And from a evolution of how we train AI perspective, this kind of scares me. Microsoft is launching the Copilot Merchant Program. A way to feed Uber details about products into Copilot. And we're talking like the smallest possible details about your product. You can let Copilot know now, either by typing it in or just by showing it examples. It'll see how many grommets are in the lace holdings or
And
the
also,
lace fasteners, etc.
yes, and it's integrated into a personal shopper service in Copilot. So it's got all that details like on a page, like if you're looking at a product catalog in real life.
So as a merch as you know as an how to say this as an e-commerce SEO, sometimes you feel like you're an information merchandiser. The way we bring these products and put products in front of potential buyers' eyes has changed rapidly. I think of all the ways you just use featured snippets to display products in the Googleverse. In Copilot, though, this is a complete different level. This is like you'll be telling Microsoft, "I want this kind of shoes," and its agent will go out, go through this merchant program. What is a database the right word here?
Yeah, I don't think it has a lot of agent use. It's like a database that produces, it's like a PDP page, product for those not in the industry, product display page. That's what it looks like if you look at the actual announcement. And it's just a personal shopper, but it's going to have all these details. It's going to make it a lot easier for the AI to kind of help
And
bring
it'll,
back what you're
match you
looking
up.
for. Yeah. Like a personal shopper for AI. So it is new for Bing and Copilot. The difference is it's not going to just live in a search engine like Google's merchant program. It's going to live in their Copilot, which is integrated with all their systems. So and it
So,
doesn't don't know exactly how far it goes, but it's going to be like I'm on my computer and I'm going to use my Copilot to just go shopping.
again, the merchandiser in me is insanely amused by this, and so that's me think it makes me think that we've come to a different level in training AI where there we're all gonna we're how to say it, the more specific you can get, and this must apply at over at Gemini as well. The better you're going to do, at least the more eyeballs your thing might find itself in front of.
Yeah,
Neat.
exactly.
Neat. So C is conundrum. Is that good enough for you?
Sure.
Google just can't get over its cookie addiction, like the cookie monster.
Yeah.
And none of us can because they're really so, I mean, they're so useful. How do you get rid of cookies? Yet. I don't know if AI is going to help us get rid of cookies, I'm sure. But Google will not change how third-party cookies work on the Chrome browser, according to Anthony Chavez, Google's VP for privacy. They're going to keep on keeping on offering users third-party cookie choices, but there will not be any new replacement or standalone thing that gets rid of cookies in general.
Yeah, their original proposal was met with so much criticism because they said it was far worse than cookies. So they've not really come back with anything different except the privacy sandbox, which does allow you to make some changes to what it knows about you. They are maintaining the privacy sandbox, but they are definitely not getting rid of cookies. So, yeah.
But again, like, and I've been asking this since day one. How can they? There's so much information is conveyed back and forth by this little teeny subroutine between you and the browser. Or I'm sorry, and the server. How does the newspaper know I've read that article, or the e-com engine know that I've ordered those products, or left those products sitting in my shopping cart? Anyway, how do they
Yeah,
get
no,
over
it's
it?
true.
I
Yeah,
just
I
don't
don't,
see
and
it.
it's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard. So much is built on it. So it's very difficult.
Okay, in the realm of the well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Click-through rates are being adversely affected by AI overviews.
Now, we did, I believe we had a change last week. Keep me honest here, Jim. The AI overview links that only went back to Google are now actually going to websites, correct?
In certain types of searches, yes. In other types of
Okay.
searches, they'll reference back into Google system.
So Ahrefs' data showed 34% lower on average click-through rate. This is a search engine roundtable story, Barry Schwartz. Emissive data showed 15% on average. I'm just rounding. Similarweb data showed 20% fewer. I do think we need to run the test again in a few months and see if the change to the link and the actual AI overview going to a website as opposed to just more Google changes that. But yeah, of course, it's definitely. And these are especially important for the ones that are just below the AI overview, which makes sense because when someone reads a page, they get to the bottom of the AI overview, their eyes are going to tend to skip the very next one or two things to see the next big thing on the page. So it makes complete sense. Google keeps promising us that they love publishers and they're not going to take their traffic, but we do know they take their traffic. These stories are the same every time they come out, and this one a bit worse. So.
There's a couple ways to look at this. At least look at that traffic. It's in and of itself. In some cases where somebody was clicking through to my client's website just to answer a question they had without actually having a purchase intention, I'm not sure how valuable that traffic is, other than the branding opportunity and the expertise, solidifying my client as the expert in this field. Here's where I went to this website to get the answer. Well, if AI Overviews gives you a relatively correct answer and that doesn't tell you to eat glue, the user doesn't got to click through. And then how useful is that click though? Because they didn't buy something. But then there is the branding aspect. I want them to think of my client's website as the expert site, not Google.
Exactly. And also, not every search needs to result in a sale. It gets to build that relationship with the client. So they learn things about you when they come for other reasons. So, but anyway, they're it's the same problem it's been. So hopefully it'll improve with the new links going to the actual websites and not just search.
So, what do web standards matter? It's a fun debate. Gary Eads is getting in on the conversation, explaining how web standards can benefit SEO, and focusing on the difference between robot text and sitemaps. You can control a lot of robot behavior using robot text. You can also control a lot of bot behavior using sitemaps. The important thing is that there be standards for how these documents are created that are respected by all the bots.
Yes, and also, and just in general, there are standards groups like the W3C, the what WG, the IETF, and all these create standards for, like, W3C, how you write HTML, how do you write JavaScript, and to make sure that when the bots from the search engines come through, that they receive something similar so they can better interpret what's online. So, and especially important for accessibility. Otherwise, people would just be guessing. But the accessibility standards allow you to code for all the different types of devices, not just screen readers, without having to like have access to a version of everyone. So standards are super, super helpful that way.
I just wish Google respected the same standards that the other
Oh yeah.
browsers and engines are respecting,
Yes,
especially
that's
when it
true.
comes to AI protocols. And also, come on, Google, come up with an index now. I mean, you're really fast, don't get me
Oh
wrong, but
yeah,
come
you
up
know
with
what?
an index now, please, or just jump into Bing's protocol. It's real good.
Or just admit that they're doing it because we know they're testing it, but they never admit that they're doing it. Every time I have to reach on the show, it's like, we know they're testing. That's all we know.
Well,
But
I
yeah, just
mean,
come out with it. It makes things so much easier. Instead of me
when
having to
what
tell clients to go to like a social media site and put it in there because it'll get indexed immediately.
and don't screw us over with another AMP project. Don't do
Oh my
that.
gosh. No. So we got to start speeding up, Jim. We got a few
Speaking of
stories
speeding up,
left. I
though,
got some
speaking of
time.
speeding up, AMP really was fast. I mean, there's no arguing about that.
Just
Don't
a pain in
argue about Google.
the
Big Brother Ads, Google Local Service Ads has new legal terms, and you got to agree to them. What's this all about?
Yeah, so you're mostly in your LSA, but not just your LSA. It can like modify display and use your LSA content across other Google products and services. Facebook did this once. Myself showed up in an ad for some product on Facebook. I was not happy. Google can use your phone calls, messages, conversations, and URL destinations from LSAs, and your agency must accept the terms on your behalf as a customer or you as your owner, as a site owner, by June 5th, or your ads will no longer be served in Google. So I urge everyone to go read this because it's much, it's more in depth, and there's a legalese in here, and there's a long discussion that Barry Schwartz at SC Roundtable has in the article between people about the new terms and the legalities of it. But yeah, so there's a bit of big brothering going on with Google there. They get control of things they normally don't have control of, I believe.
Okay, I'm not going to comment on this one, mostly just because we need to move through stories as quickly as we can.
Yes.
So Google is creating a new video verification feature that will let you streamline your process of video verification. It seems a lot of people leave half complete video verifications that screw up the Google the submission process on Google Business. Google's given them a new way to streamline that verification called video previews. Look at recordings before you submit them, ensuring clarity, accuracy, and probably saving Google a buttload of money.
As you know, Google is really slow on verification for local businesses, so this is probably a way to get through the process faster, which will be good for everybody who doesn't want to spend all their time creating something that gets rejected. I will tell you if you have problems with the video before you submit.
So, Google's going to now allow relevant search ads from certain advertisers who show up among the top ads to also participate in an auction for ads that occur that show up on the bottom of the screen as well. This is a change in Google policy, and it could see users click on an ad that was up at the top, the high auction zone, or bottom, the low auction zone.
Problem is, they're not reporting on if there are two ads on the page.
So it's hard for the advertiser to tell
Yeah.
which ad was more successful.
Exactly. So the different locations drive different CTR. Of course, as you just said, low value would be the bottom of the page because how far do people scroll? But currently, advertisers will not be able to measure that. So you'll see the ad was on the page. You'll not know if it was on the top or the bottom of the page.
Okay. This is a cool one. I really like this. Google Local Panel is testing a get there and from your location feature. So how do you get there? And how do you get there from your location? This is being tested in Google Local. That is awfully cool and will make it easier for me to get to the pizza.
Yes, and I'll help you decide whether you want to go this way or that way, the store or that one, because where I live, we love construction. And construction is the joke in my state in Nevada is that the orange cone is our state bird. So it will really help when there's construction going on you don't know about to get somewhere you need to go faster, better, or if you pick a new location.
Only question I have here is it's 2025. Ask was doing this, what, back in 2008? What was taking
Yeah.
so long? Okay.
It's old as new again.
John Mueller is giving advice that if you want a site to that's old, that you're not nobody has actual ownership for of anymore. One of the ways to get it off of Google is to remove all vestiges of that site from the web. Why are we giving this advice? Oh, and
I
there's a
don't
place in
know.
Google Search Console you can go to too that says, don't control this site, but it's old. But before
Yeah.
Google will do anything, you gotta remove all the content. Doesn't that
The
get
pages,
removed from Google's index anyway?
yeah, I don't understand that. But I would just say the headline freaked me out. How to remove site from search without verifying ownership.
I
What?
could think of a couple competitors I would love to do that to.
Yeah. Hey, I don't like my competitor anymore. I'm just going to remove them from search. But yeah, you're right. You have to remove the entire site from the web, and then there's a way to submit it. It may just be if you want to get your pages down faster, so Google just, goes away completely.
Within 3 to 6 months, they're going to be gone. Like if
Sometimes.
Google can't find it 3 times, it's just gonna slowly, and no one's clicking on it anymore. It's just gonna slowly give up the ghost on it, right?
Yeah, this is true. But
Okay, just
it's if you're stuck, you know what to do. This is what you do.
okay. So during the especially during the pandemic, but up until very recently, Google had a event-rich console carousel for desktop search. No, it's not a bug. It's depreciating it. Google wrote sometime last week. It's not in this story, incidentally, but
Nope.
it's depreciating the event carousel. I guess it doesn't see that we're in an emergency time anymore. This was so you could say something had special hours because of an emergency event or a special event was happening. So
Yeah.
closed on Sunday due to Ebola, you know.
Yeah. Which sadly is not outside the realm of possibility these days.
That's not
Yeah.
funny, Christine.
Yeah, so the event rich is disappearing. It's still on your mobile device, but it is disappearing from your desktop. So now we're into
Okay.
our quick stories.
Yeah, move, we got to go so fast because again, studios is cutting us off in just a few minutes.
All right, well, I got 7 minutes. Let's see what I think we do it. Google's relaxing its photo guidelines for its local service ads. This is something you'll obviously want to read in depth, but you'll be getting a letter from Google or an email. That just says that there are changes to what they're going to allow. They're going to loosen some of the restrictions. This is going to start on May 22nd, so pretty soon, and it will allow people to use different types. Sometimes for smaller businesses, making sure that they do everything exactly like Google wanted was a little difficult. So off topic, wrong watermark, phone number, email address, street address, out of focus, bad lighting, screenshot, and duplicate image will no longer be considered part of the photo review process. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Google's testing result of search results where top ranking results on mobile are made prominent by using blue shading. They're also testing a larger favicon beside the search result. This is yeah, this again a Google test. If you see it happening and it makes the search result more prominent and you think it's a good thing, let Google know. If you think it's a
Yeah.
bad thing, let them know too.
Yeah. Oh, we did skip one because I think it sounds like the other story, but it's a
It
little
is.
bit different.
Oh,
A little bit
I thought it was
different.
the same story.
Yeah, I know it does from the title. It sounds like the same story. So Google is stopping to support special announcement, which is a little different than the event carousel. And special announcements, like you go into like Google and it'd be like, here's your COVID. You remember your like your COVID maps and your directives and like you need to get a vaccine, all that kind of stuff that was at the top of the page. There was a special announcement structured data that Google used that allowed people to, like the government, to communicate more easily because they would pick it up in the structured data. That is going away completely. It's being deprecated and dropped July 31st, 2025. So a little
So,
different than the other because it's not the
have
carousel,
your
because the carousel
emergencies
still there.
now, not later.
Yeah. Do not have them later. You will not have a. And this is specifically for the COVID announcements. COVID still is pretty deadly, but it's not like it used to, where everyone has to have that information all the time. So, and then Bing Webmaster Tools working to
Getting too many emails from Bing Webmaster Tools? They're working on that.
Martin McDonald, if you know Search Martin from Twitter and other places, he got, it looks like, probably 100 emails at the same time. And he's like, can we do something about this, Fabrice? So they're now going to consolidate your emails so you don't get that anymore from
A
Bing.
quick note to Martin. Martin, if you have 100 different Bing accounts or Bing Webmaster Tools accounts for 100 different clients, dude, what do you think is gonna happen, man? Like,
Right?
right? Okay. No positive SEO effect from having specialized top-level domains. In this case, esports. You're not gonna get a big boost in your SEO for sports
Yeah.
from having that TLD. In fact, Google's getting rid of a number of their own country level TLDs because it doesn't, it within its systems, that's no longer a signal anymore.
Yeah. So way back in the day, before we had all these TLDs, there were sometimes boosts from like .com or .gov or .edu because they were special domains. That doesn't exist anymore. These are just somebody bought the ability to sell these domains, so it doesn't make any difference in your search
Okay.
results.
Okay, YouTube is testing AI-powered overview in its search results. The test currently targets products and location searches. And this is happening for a small group of US premium members. So I'm not seeing this yet.
I don't believe I've seen it either, though I'm not in YouTube enough probably to have noticed. But yeah, so it's nice, they'll have some AI summary overviews. Sometimes I just think these things just take up space, though. But we'll see how it is when it's on there. And so we have successfully made it round the clock. Jim, do you believe it, with 2 minutes to
2 minutes
spare?
to spare, and we're not getting the hook from studio. Okay, so
Isn't that?
to great relief of our producer Ricky, we do really do got to wrap it up though, because we were at the beginning of his next clock any second now. So, on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, folks. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 24th of April, 2025. Special thanks to Audience Key and Wick Studio. Special thanks to Ricky and Brasco in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the front office. And special thanks to you, the listeners. Pass our show around to as many people as you can, like it, and listen as frequently as possible. In the meantime, we will be back next week. Have a great week. Be kind to each other, rank well, and again, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.